It's what happens when you got make believers in the congregation. They're going to have them, and you got people who will listen to them. Don't be those people. Don't be the believers that listen to them. Don't do so. You might be criticized when you are truly from a right heart giving yourself completely to the Lord in whatever it is. And where you might be criticized, we see that.
Thanks for joining us for this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today is Letter Day, where we have a chance to hear what our listeners are saying about Equipping the Saints.
And Dave, I have a phone comment from Betty in Texas. She says, thank you so much. I enjoy the program so much. I hear it sometimes in the morning and sometimes in the evening, and I'm so blessed when I get to hear it twice in one day. Isn't that wonderful? Well, Betty, thank you so much for your encouragement. We are so thankful for what the Lord is doing through His Word.
Greg, today we conclude our look at what true devotion to Christ looks like from Matthew 26.
Yes, Dave, we do. And as we look at Mary's devotion to Christ, we're going to see another principle, that true devotion to Him will often be criticized even by those within the church. So turn with us to Matthew chapter 26, and we're looking at verses 1 through 13.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Sing praises to the Lord, you godly ones. Sing praises to the Lord, you His godly ones, and give thanks to His holy name. For His anger is but a moment, but His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. God is gracious. He's good. His favor is toward us for a lifetime. Psalm 33, verse 2. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre, that's an instrument. Sing praises to Him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is upright. All His work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. We should be seeing who He is and being reminded of who He is through the Scriptures and allowing them to draw our hearts to praise Him and be devoted to Him. Yes, we'll see, sitting at His feet, desiring to hear what He has to say through His Word and then being devoted to Him. Psalm 57, verse 9. I will give thanks to Thee, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to Thee among the nations. Sounds like, be exalted, O God, the song we sing, right? He says, for Thy loving kindness is great to the heavens, Thy truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God, let Thy glory be above the earth. Praise the Lord, right? Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter His gates, we saw this last week, with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. As we get into the mechanics later on in Nehemiah and the New Testament about worship, we need to have the foundation, which is a relationship with the living God and a thankfulness and a praise to Him. We're going to see a singing and organization and all kinds of things, preparation for how they serve. And it's good for us as a small church, as we begin here, to look in Scripture to see how worship is done specifically. But it is done in the context of a worship of the living God, of Christ, right? And so we have these tremendous passages. Psalm 100, and we enter against thanksgiving. We saw that. His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His loving kindness everlasting. His faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 118, 28. Thou art my God. I will give thanks to Thee. Thou art my God. I will extol Thee. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Now, the Apostle Paul is always giving thanks, right, for what God has done in saving those through His Son Jesus. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and the truth. We praise God. We thank Him for what He's done through His Son Jesus. We read this earlier, Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. Now, He's going to explain what that is. To God, that is, the fruit of the lips that give thanks to His name. as we look at the mechanics of how we're going to come together and worship, we better never leave and become mechanical when we should be praising the Lord. It should be coming from a heart of gratitude and thankfulness as a foundation. So back to our passage. We should be giving thanks to the Lord. This should be what we should be doing every day, but how much more so when we gather together. And, you know, if you're not giving thanks to the Lord, if you never have, if your heart's never thankful, never, I would ask you to examine yourselves, because Romans chapter 1 says that they didn't give thanks, those who weren't saved, those who suppressed the truth and unrighteousness. But if you've come to faith in Jesus, you're going to be thankful for what he has done for you, the forgiveness of sins. We're such wretches. I mean, I think of my sin and how sinful I am. I think of how sinful I've been. I think of Jesus paying the penalty for that sin. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Right? And we should be so thankful. Now, in that giving thanks, there should be a giving of oneself. There should be an overflowing generosity. And that's what we're going to see with Mary, an overflowing generosity. Back to our passage. She did a good deed to me, Jesus says. Verse 6, now when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume. She poured it upon his head as he reclined at the table. We know from John, she first put it on his feet, right? We know from that, and rubbed his feet with her hair, right? Now this perfume was, as John said, pure nard, John 12:13. It was extremely costly. It probably came from the Himalayas, and to bring that over from there to Jerusalem, that's a lot of money. To Bethany, a lot of money. It's expensive. In John, Judas, you know, he's talking about how much it's worth because he's the money guy. He's a pilferer. He wants the cash. He's going to pretend it's ministry, but he's taking the cash. He's already got it figured out, the numbers. He says, couldn't it have been sold for 300 denarii? You know, and a denarii was about a day's wage. That would be between $50 and $100 for us. Think about $50 to $100 times 300. That's $15,000 to $30,000 worth of perfume. This was not a small gift. And we're going to see she doesn't go, 10%? There we go. Okay, there we go, Jesus. You know, she just graciously gives it all. She gives it all because she is so thankful. And it's apparent it probably was one of her prized possessions. And so she anointed him with an alabaster vial, a very costly perfume. Her devotion was generous, and it cost her. But she wasn't thinking about the cost. You see, her attitude and heart attitude to worship the Lord, she was thankful. She had gratitude in her heart. We see that. Overflowing, she was generous, holding nothing back. Again, I mentioned she didn't measure it out. True devotion to Christ doesn't pinch pennies in that sense. It's generous. There's a heart of gratitude towards the Lord. I'm not saying we don't be good stewards with our finances. I'm talking about towards the Lord. There's no penny pinching in that. There's gratitude. And our giving in that sense should be out of a sense of gratitude. Thank you, Lord God. Gratitude, not obligation. God loves a cheerful giver, not an obligated giver. He wants the heart change. The heart change that is so thankful for what he has done and what a blessing it is. And there's joy in the Lord when you're thankful for what he's done. Boy, there's joy. And so then, it's out of true, genuine love and devotion. If it is, there's going to be no limit. There's going to be no restriction, you see. And I find people, when they want to serve Christ, but they have so many strings attached. You know, I don't see that as much lately, but back before we had our little splitty thing, the reality is a lot of people, they have so many strings on their serving. You'd say, can you just, well, this and this and that. Wait a second. There shouldn't be any strings. We should just be willing to do whatever the Lord wants us to do. Now, of course, there's reality of life and those things, but Christ should be first. And it should be out of a changed heart. You know, there's so many unwilling and stingy, but yet Mary, she had a heart of gratitude, a heart of thankfulness. You see, that's a small thing compared to what Jesus did. Raising Lazarus, it's wonderful, but small compared to what Jesus has done for us. So much more, as we'll say. She had an understanding. There was no limitation and no restraint. Again, years ago, this is a long time ago, I was communicating with a family that had left the church, and their reason for leaving was we don't have enough money for gas. I said, really? Are you kidding me? They had enough money for gas, it just didn't work in their budget. The reality is, Christ should be first. That should be the first thing, being with his people, worshiping him, praising him. But if it's all about the other things, then something may be wrong. You see, a true devotion to Christ has no restraint or no restriction in this right context, by the way, as we see it here. We see the gratitude of Mary. Now, guess what? When you are truly devoted to the Lord, there's probably going to be some criticism. There's probably going to be some make-believers that even instigate believers to come along and criticize. Often when people are doing the right thing to the Lord, when you're doing the right thing, you're not trying to show it or flaunt it to anyone. You're just doing it, and other people notice that there can be criticism. Be ready for it. Notice in our passage, it says, verse 8, "But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, 'Why the waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and money had been given to the poor.'" Now, of course, Jesus isn't against money going to the poor. We saw back in his separating of the sheep and the goats. How did he identify those who were his? Well, they were those who had a heart to serve suffering believers. A cup of cold water, whatever it might be, they were suffering greatly. So what you did to them, you did to me. Now, there's no doubt that he doesn't have a heart to help. But here we're going to see this wasn't out of a heart to help. This was out of a perverted view of ministry that is self-centered and self-focused. And certainly selfish when we come to see what Judas did. So at this point, the disciples, speaking of the 12 here, but really we're going to see it wasn't all the 12, but there were some of them. They're saying, why the waste? This could have been sold for a high price and money given to the poor. Now in Mark's account, we see the 14, verse 4, that it was only some of the disciples became indignant. It wasn't all 12. Some of them. Which in a minute, we'll see Judas was at the lead of this. He was the one that brought it up and spoke about it. And then some of them came alongside. They're believers, by the way. Judas isn't. But they're going to come on in and join with Judas in this kind of a reproof of what she had done. She had done a good deed out of a devotion to the Lord. And all of a sudden, it's being criticized. Be aware that might happen to you. When you do the right thing, you trust the Lord, you serve him with your whole heart, you might be criticized by those you think know the Lord. And some of them might even know the Lord. So we have this, why this waste? And then notice on another note, it's none other than Judas who is leading this. Look at John 12 again, verse 3, John 12. "Mary therefore took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume." Notice this, "but Judas Iscariot." Now he is the son of perdition. He is a devil. Right? He's going to do Satan's will. He's a faker. He's a make-believer. He's not saved. Okay? And it says here, "but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, said, 'Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii?'" Here's the guy that's saying it, right? He's instigating. You got the fakers, the make-believers that are stirring up true believers to see things wrongly. Right? And you got them stirring them up in a ministry-minded way, basically. He says here, "and given to the poor people." Now, he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the money box he used to pilfer what was put into it. It's what happens when you've got make-believers in the congregation. They're going to have them, and you've got people who will listen to them. Don't be those people. Don't be the believers that listen to them. Don't do so. You might be criticized when you are truly from a right heart giving yourself completely to the Lord. And whatever it is, and whatever you might be criticized, we see that here. And they're saying, hey, why wouldn't we sell it? But this is not a good reason at all. Because ministry, for the sake of ministry, is not ministry at all. If Christ isn't the center. You see, they're talking about giving money to the poor. Versus, she is anointing him, as we'll see, for burial. She is giving her most costly possession to him personally. She is personally doing so. You see, so if Christ isn't the center of ministry, there's no ministry at all. And that's what happens, and that's what I get concerned as we teach about how we're to worship the Lord, that we don't set up a system that gets running apart from a devotion to Jesus Christ underneath it. Yes, we have to have order. We need to have a certain ways that we do things. But Christ needs to be the center. So then, the principle we can get here is when you do the right thing, focusing on Jesus Christ for the right heart motives, sometimes there's going to be criticism coming from those who name the name of Christ and those probably make believers, but also there were some disciples that joined in. There were some that joined in this, right? And folks, this has happened before, hasn't it, to Mary? Mary has chosen good things at times, and she gets criticized for it, right? Let's go back to Luke chapter 10. Expect to be criticized when you do what is right. Don't let it deter you. Don't let it discourage you. Don't let it dissuade you. Just do what is right for Jesus. Look back in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's word seated at his feet. Don't forget that part, okay? But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. We understand those temptations, right? All our preparations, but we should learn from this, right? And she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Well, we laugh, but we can be that way too, can't we? And we need to learn from it, right? We need to learn. Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, notice how gracious he is. Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. We got Martha, her sister, complaining to the Lord about Mary. You know, maybe some people are complaining to the Lord about others. Lord, what are they doing? You know, the reality is when you do the right thing, there will be those around you that will complain. There will be, and we see it. Don't let it dissuade you, because Jesus said about her that she has done a good thing. Notice back in our passage, but Jesus, aware of this is aware of their criticism, right? Not about the first Martha incident, but the one with the perfume, okay? Chapter 26, verse 10, aware of this, says, why do you bother the woman? Why do you bother her? For she has done a good deed to me. Again, there'll be people that will bother you. They will come on. Just be prepared, but don't let it dissuade you. Keep your focus on Jesus. Jesus will take care of those people. He does here, right? For the poor you have with you always, but you do not always have me. And notice, we see here that true devotion prioritizes rightly. Mary had the priority earlier, Jesus. Jesus is the priority. Listening to his word, sitting at his feet. Jesus is the priority of everything. She prioritized him in giving this gracious gift. Jesus was the priority. It's the Lord Jesus. And if he isn't the priority in everything we're doing, we are wasting our time. We need to do it out of a love relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ and a response of gratitude. And notice, we see here that true devotion is based on what is taught. She's actually responding also in light of what she has heard. Mary is the one that listens. Mary's the one that gets it. She's listening. She's not all caught up in the ministry. She's not hearing it. She gets it. Look back down in verse 10. But Jesus, aware of this, said, and why you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. For the poor you have with you always, but you do not always have me. And then notice what he says. For, he explains, for when she poured this perfume upon my body, she did it to prepare me for my burial. This is a very interesting statement. It could be taken two ways, that she was unaware she was doing it to prepare him for his burial, or in light of the fact of what he just said. We just saw earlier, the Son of Man is going to go and be delivered in 2 days. And he's been saying that. And she's been sitting at his feet. She's been listening. She did it to prepare me for burial. She was focused on him. We saw back in Luke chapter 10, she was focused on the Lord Jesus. She was sitting at his feet, listening to his word. Folks, Mary seems to be the only one here who gets it, because she's focused on Jesus and she's listening to him. We get caught up in all our stuff and we don't hear him. We don't hear his word. We get caught up in all the preparations and the life stuff and we don't hear what he is saying. She hears it, I believe, and she's responding rightly. And so we see here, she was listening and seated at his feet earlier, and here she is anointing him for his burial. It is never a waste to give Jesus everything. It's never a waste. Give him your life completely. Give it all to Jesus. Don't hold back. Be thankful for what he's done and give yourself to him. You're going to be criticized. Be aware of that, but Jesus will take care of that. You just be aware it's coming possibly, but let Jesus take care of that. Give your life. Now, there are those who are devoted to Christ, and that's characterized by they sit and listen to his feet, but they also are going to respond. They're going to respond with devotion. Their actions are going to be manifest in a love and a generosity and a giving to Jesus of time, talent, money, whatever it is, giving to him, lovingly, desiring to honor him. Mary understood, I believe, that she chose the good thing. She chose the good thing. Jesus would say that about Mary. And she did a good deed here. So then, as we serve the Lord, we have all kinds of opportunities to do certain things, and we have structure and ways we do it, but may we never do so out of a structure. May we never do so out of compulsion. May we never do so for others' sake. May we do so for the Lord. May it be the Lord prompting us to do those good deeds by giving ourselves to him. And notice Mary's example is an example for everyone from this point on who hears the gospel. Notice this, and we're hearing it today. Notice here, verse 13, truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, that's speaking of the word of God, right? The gospel of Jesus Christ, including this truth, which is in the gospels, right? We see that, but this gospel of Jesus, the whole world, what this woman has done shall also be spoken of in memory of her. She got it. She got it. She understood because she prioritized Jesus and his word. She didn't prioritize his word apart from Jesus. Back earlier, she wasn't sitting, you know, reading the Torah in the other room and Jesus over there. And sorry, I can't bother me. I'm reading the word. No, she was at Jesus' feet listening to him. And here we see her giving her most treasured possession to anoint him for burial in thankfulness and gratitude. And we are proclaiming this right here, spoken of in the memory of her. And I pray that we learn from it. We pray that we learn what Mary did was good. What she did was good. And it came out of a loving devotion and worship of Christ. So then we've seen two completely different actions with two completely different motives. We've seen the hatred of the leadership planning to kill Jesus, along with Judas willing to betray him. But sandwiched in between these events, Judas later on, is a true story of Mary's actions and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to learn from it. So we've seen today, true worship and devotion will manifest in a heart of gratitude. It'll be generous towards Christ with our most valuable possessions without limit. We just give of ourselves, our time, our money. It's his. It's his to use however he pleases. There's a generous giving of that. It often might be criticized by people who name his name, but it all arises from the truth which he brings forth as we sit at his feet and learn more about him and what he has done for us. So let me ask you, do they name the name of Christ? What does your worship look like? What does your devotion look like? Are you willing to give yourself to the Lord in thankfulness for what he has done for us? If you're not sitting at his feet hearing him, you're not going to be thankful. If he's not your focus, you're not going to be thankful. So some of you need to confess and make him your focus. But then from that should come a response of worship. And that's what we want to do together every time we gather together and as we live our lives each and every day.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, would you summarize what true devotion to Christ will look like?
Yes, Dave, I'd love to. As we've seen, true devotion to Christ will manifest in a thankful, grateful heart for what Jesus has done. It will manifest in a desire to, figuratively speaking, sit down at his feet and learn from him through his word. Also, a true devotion to Jesus is not stingy.
Instead, it's going to manifest in a generous overflowing of the giving of your time and money to Him and His work. Well, brothers and sisters, don't be surprised when you're devoted to Christ that that devotion will be criticized. And remember, you're in good company with the woman whom Jesus testifies to all through His Word.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.